We've been talking about mental strongholds that block our healing. And the good news is that the God we serve is able to identify and expose those things. And we have to be prepared to cast them down. Whose responsibility is it to guard your own heart and mind? It's yours. And the Bible teaches us casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And that's how the enemy works, constantly trying to get you in a place where you allow the devil to exalt his thoughts over the Word of God. That's a recipe for defeat. Unfortunately, it can also be a recipe for early death.
Yeah.
True.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Amen. We assume that every time, we as believers, fail to receive something that somehow, God is holding out on us, or there's all kinds of stipulations and reasons for that. And there's so much of dead man's, theology involved in this, that we have to separate what God's Word teaches from what people try to, introduce into our thinking when it comes to explaining why people receive or don't receive. And these mental strongholds, they just don't come on you one day. They're the product of really, a lifetime of listening to things, receiving things. And some of you, you were taught to just aggressively against the power of God and the healing power of God. Gloria Copeland talks about being raised in a church that's famous for believing absolutely nothing. And say, that's not me.
That's not me.
And some of us were raised in an environment where we weren't taught against these things. We just weren't taught anything. So there's a vacuum there, and you have to be careful where there's a vacuum, because it can be filled with erroneous teaching. And so over time, these models begin to be strongholds in your thinking and can block you from receiving. There are all kinds of them. The one we're focusing on right now has to do with your healing, with your restoration. And so we've talked about several of these already. The fact is that one mighty lie can keep you bound forever.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, I'm done with being lied to.
I'm
receiving the truth. We want to receive God's teaching, and we want to walk in His ways. And part of that is tearing down strongholds that are not consistent with His Word. And this is not something that happens one and done. It's a lifetime of staying, in the game and on the ball. Amen. And God wants you to live out your days. Say it, length of days, strength of days, and then one day you go home to be with the Lord. But look at somebody and say, not today. And there are things you can do that can lengthen your life and establish your life. And there are things you can do that shorten your life. And we see this all the time. So one of those strongholds is that, if you think about this, it might not be God's will to heal. We talked about that Jesus, when he dealt with a man with this serious situation with physical affliction, well, if it's your will, you can heal me. What did Jesus say? I am willing. Be healed. Shout that out. He is willing.
He is willing.
Now that should settle it for people. But that alone sometimes may not be enough to undermine the stronghold they've cultivated over time through religion. Another one is having closed eyes and ears, where you listen on the surface, but you really don't allow it to penetrate your heart. You're ever hearing, but never really receiving and understanding. And if you don't, you can't change those thoughts that are there. The scripture teaches us that we hear, we receive, we believe, we understand, and then we're converted. And there is no conversion without hearing. Say good amen. There is no conversion without understanding. And so there's no way that we can actually turn from something until we understand what God has for us. You couldn't get born again until you heard. Amen. How can they hear unless somebody be sent? Aren't you glad somebody told you the truth? Well, your salvation experience works the same way as receiving healing or anything from God. You have to hear. Faith comes by what? By hearing. And you understand and you receive, you can, put down that stronghold and begin to receive what God has for you. But if you know it all, you've heard it all, you've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, you went to so-and-so's conference, you went to a Benny Hinn meeting, nobody can teach you anything, you're done. The moment you stop growing in the things of God, you're done. And you can receive anytime you want to if you have ears to hear. Doesn't make any difference who's teaching a Sunday school class. Doesn't make any difference who has the platform on a given night or day. If your heart is to receive, you can receive an explosive revelation from God, and one word from God can change your life forever. I've seen this so many times where something explodes on the inside of somebody, and they're never the same. You can see it in their countenance. When you're a pastor and you look out across a congregation, you can see that something is drilling down. And you can see when something's bouncing off. Look at somebody and smile and say, don't let it bounce off of you tonight. Let it find a sure place in your heart and in your life. And then we talked about this one. People teach that God put this on me to teach me a lesson. We found out that God does discipline, but he disciplines with his word. That's how he does this. Heaven is not so bankrupt that God has to turn to the devil's tools to teach us things. And so someone would say, well, you know, I went through this great affliction and I learned so much. You could have learned without the affliction. In other words, you're an intelligent being. You're always learning. Does that make sense? The good thing is we have the option also to learn when we're not going through affliction if we will. In fact, it's a wise thing to do is get all the revelation you can on something before you face something. It's very difficult to build a house in the middle of a storm. You know, during a hurricane, you know, when the winds start blowing 170 miles an hour, that's not the time to decide to start boarding up your house. You're going to get blown away. But you heed the warnings that came out, 72 hours before, and you get yourself on down to Home Depot, and you get you some plywood, amen, and get you some screws and take care of everything. That's the time to do it. But how many know there's always that person? They're going to ride out the storm. They know better than everyone else. No. You say it with me. I can't build a house in the middle of a storm. And so you don't want to wait until there's a crisis to go, maybe I should get my healing tapes out. Maybe I should find Dodie Osteen's healing scriptures and begin to meditate on those. No, what you want to do is you want to be ready at a moment's notice to fight the good fight of faith. And that requires that you tear down these strongholds that are in your mind. I don't know about you, but my God has not beat me up to teach me a lesson.
Amen.
We have enough sense as human beings to prosecute parents that do this to their kids. I mean, if a parent abuses a child, can the child learn something? Yeah, they can learn a lot from that situation, all the wrong things. And eventually they'll perpetrate that on another generation. And we prosecute people like that. How do we know it's wrong? Because we know the nature of God. We know what he is. He's kind, he's loving, he's gracious. And a lot of things that people step into have nothing to do with God saying sovereignly, well, they're going to get it now. There are cases where God judges nations and he judges peoples, and it's not mistakable. I've said this before. People said 9/11 was God's judgment. Well, if 9/11 happened to every city in America, you would know it was God. You understand what I'm saying to you tonight? As a child of God, you have the ability to discern what's going on, to prepare for things that might happen, and understand who's doing what in your life. But if you think that somehow God is the one doing this to you, how in the world can you possibly have victory over it? I was taught enough religion that I remember thinking that whatever happens, must be of God. And that is an absolute lie from the pit of hell. We can tell what God does and what he doesn't do by his word.
That's right.
Say this to me. I can tell what God does and what he doesn't do by what?
By
his word. Not by experience, not by how you feel, not by what religion teaches, but by what God actually says in his word. So I'm going to continue talking about these mental strongholds tonight, but I wanted just to take and back up just a moment and talk to you about the most diabolical mental strongholds. And before I can do that, I want to make sure you understand what diabolical means, where it comes from, who personifies what is diabolical. And, you think about that word, you may think about some character in a Hollywood movie or a cartoon, and they're diabolical in what they do, and they're scheming, and they're planning, and they're trying to undermine and hurt and harm people. Well, in Ephesians 6:11, what does the Bible tell us about spiritual warfare? Who is identified as diabolical in that scripture? Turn over there for a moment. Because the warfare going on in your mind is, well, let me put it this way. You're not crazy. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Come on, confess that. I am not crazy.
It is real.
And when you read the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand. Against what? The devil's schemes. Literally, diabolos in the Greek. And it's a word that literally means slanderer. Say it with me, slanderer. And I'll just say this to you, you know, if you're living your life and, you know, you hear people slander other people, you know who's influencing them. And not only should you not be one, you shouldn't be hanging around that kind of stuff. And yet you'd be amazed how many people, even in the church, yield to that spirit. They think they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They think they're serving Jesus Christos. They think they're serving the Messiah. But actually, they're serving Diabolos. If you are given to slander, you're not serving Jesus Christ. You are serving another Lord. And whatever you do, you take on their nature. You walk in love, whose nature are you going to take on? God's, because God is what? God is love. You walk in mercy, whose nature are you going to take on? God's mercy. And if you take on the role of a slanderer, whose nature are you taking on? It's been the beginning, as far as the enemy goes, this is how he operates from the very beginning. But we see through Scripture his nature. So I want you to understand what it means to be diabolical. You know, what people will do is say, well, this happened, and then they'll lay it at God's feet. Now, how many know God is big and powerful and mighty, and he doesn't care what people think? He's not sitting there wondering if you think he's bad or if you think he's good. He is what he is, and it's your job to adjust to what he is and what his word says he is. On the other hand, you and I have a responsibility to represent him accurately.
Yes.
Amen. And to say something is of God and it's not of God, you're slandering him. There are people in churches all over America, they sit there, and their inspiration is Diabolos. Their inspiration is not God, because they speak wrongly of him. You know, Job got into trouble because he was trying to understand what was going on, and Diabolos came after him, not El Shaddai. And then the three friends of his, the Bible says very plainly, did not speak right of God. In other words, they slandered him in their own way. If you think that Job is sitting back as paragon of perfection, he's not. He's operating in a spirit of fear, constantly sacrificing, thinking that there's an open door for the destruction of his family. He saw it coming. That's why he would do what he did. And he said these words, "That which I feared has come upon me." And of course, his wife says what? Just for the record, you don't want a wife that's going to tell you curse God and die. You want a wife that's going to tell you bless God and fight.
Amen.
Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Let's all say bless God and fight. Stand, Job, you know better than this. But no, she's encouraging him to go ahead down the wrong road. And he says things that are incorrect of God. He's operating in fear, the things he needs to know he doesn't know. But most people, when they read Job and interpret Job, read maybe the first or second chapter, and that's it. All I can tell you is the revelation of Job was understood through the mouth of God himself when he cross-examines Job and another man of God named Elihu. Say Elihu three times.
Elihu.
Even great Bible expositors and teachers will lump the three friends together with Elihu and say these people spoke wrong of God. Elihu is the only human in that story that did not speak incorrectly. And so the key to understanding what's going on is in what Elihu said in Job and then what God said. And slander is a part of this. You're not going to get ahead in life slandering your God. And I'll tell you something else. You shouldn't put up with other people slandering your God as well. Walk around saying, I mean, if you said to me my natural father had done something that he didn't do that was horrible, you know what? You better duck. So it has nothing to do with God and can't take it. It's about, are we going to put up with, you know, ourselves slandering God and having other people slander him? Well, I'm at a point in life where I'm not doing that. I've crossed the faith line. I'm not coming back over into religion.
No.
And I'm not going to say God did something when he didn't do it. Isn't it funny how when God does amazing things, he doesn't get the praise, but when something falls apart, he gets the blame.
Yeah.
He has nothing in mind for you but good.
Yes, that's right.
He is a good God by nature. Amen.
Amen.
And for someone to say anything about that or imply something other than that, they're operating with that spirit of Diabolos, the slanderer. Say it, the slanderer. So if you think about that for a moment, what is he trying to do? He is trying to separate you from your God. He is trying to undermine your relationship with God. And when people do this with human relationships, they're trying to sever people from one another. It's an agency of the spirit of division. Now, it doesn't take you long to figure out that Donald Trump is not a perfect person. And, Kamala Harris is not a perfect person as well. They're both flawed. But a lot of things that are said are just outright slander. And if you're not careful, you don't discern what's going on. You get sucked into that stuff.
That's true.
Find yourself being a mouthpiece for Diabolos instead of a mouthpiece for God. You know you can't be both. I got so tickled because I told you several months ago, there's a conference last year, and the entire conference was built around denying and preaching against the present-day ministry of the Holy Ghost, miracles, and the gifts of the Spirit. And I just came across a couple of those messages, and I'm almost laughing at the absolute ignorance of these people. They understand nothing. John Osteen, when he was a Southern Baptist preacher, say, God bless the Baptist.
God bless the Baptist.
He wasn't Spirit-filled at the time, and he was trying to help his church understand the gifts of the Spirit. And he would say, well, this speaking in tongues is, you know, what our good, you know, an interpretation is what our good Baptist translators do. And the gifts of healing, well, that's what our good Baptist doctors do. And he looked up from his Bible as he was preaching. He looked at the church and he said, I don't know what I'm talking about. And he slammed the Bible shut, and he just, that's it, we're going home today. Well, there was a day where he knew what they were all about. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so they're trying to explain these things in such a way, and it's just laughable. And what they've ended up doing is slandering the God who gave us these things. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul did not correct us on spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, 11, 12, 13, and 14, because God didn't want us using them.
That's right.
Or because they passed away.
That's right.
Why so much correction if they're passed away? Sure. Just say they're passed away, they're dumb, and it's not a problem anymore. No, he brought the correction because he knew even today people are going to find themselves out of bounds on these things. Everybody say, thank God they're real. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes.
And there is no asterisk there telling us that they've passed away.
Uh-uh.
It shall do what, church?
Speak with other tongues.
They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll speak with new tongues. Amen.
Mm-hmm. They'll drink anything.
If they drink something,
it won't harm.
They'll go down to the Dairy Queen and something's bad about the food. It what? It won't harm them. If they take up serpents, what'll happen?
They won't get bit.
That doesn't mean handle them. It means if you happen to get bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I found out that the venom from two-legged serpents is pretty bad too.
Yeah.
And what did Paul do when he got bit?
He shook it off.
What should you do when you get bit?
Shake it off.
Shake it off. So it's very important you understand that we're not going to get to the best that God has for us going around slandering him. And here's a very simple rule. Your mama taught it when you were young. If you have nothing nice to say,
say
nothing at all. And if you don't know, don't talk on behalf of God. Is it okay to say, I don't know?
Yes.
Let's all practice it. But I don't know. It's so difficult. Well, Aunt Martha served God for 50 years. I don't understand what happened to her. Could you tell me what happened to her? I don't know. Do you really know what's going on in Martha's heart?
Nope.
No. Do you know how she's living?
No.
No. Nobody really understands. The Bible talks about the individual in Jeremiah. Their own heart is deceitful. You can't even know your own heart. How are you supposed to know somebody else's? You don't. The best you can do is focus on your own heart and tearing down the strongholds in your own life that are affecting you. Everybody say, I have an open heart. I have a mind. I have ears to hear. I have understanding. So I refuse to work for Diabolos. Slander is a legal term that refers to the act of making a false statement about someone, usually orally with the intent to damage their reputation. But now it doesn't have to be oral. It can be on social media. And social media right now is the supreme example of slander in the world. Somehow people feel empowered to slander one another over social media, somehow thinking that God can't see it. If you wouldn't say something about somebody to their face,
why would you
do it on social media?
Mm-hmm.
thinking that somehow that's okay. Because the roof didn't cave in when you did it. I can tell you something. The roof may not have caved in when you did it, but you're undermining your ability to receive from God because you're acting like the devil and not like God. Usually orally with the intent to damage someone's reputation and oftentimes God's reputation. It can also refer to false statements themselves or things that contradict the Word of God. We are in a war if you didn't notice it. And you and I can't afford to be led astray by the thoughts and the intents and the ideas of others slandering God and slandering His people. You see a lot of social media and a lot of folks, they've made it their mission to slander men and women of God. They've never been to their churches or sat in their ministries. They've never listened to a series, but they know everything there is to know about that particular person. And they call them false prophets and they call them heretics. What is that called? It's called slander. They're not doing the work of the ministry. They label themselves discernment ministries, and yet they have no discernment themselves. They are serving Diabolos, and they're going to get the reward of Diabolos if they don't stop it. No one has called you to get on social media, on YouTube, on Facebook, even at your family gathering, even at the Thanksgiving table, and slander men and women of God.
Amen.
Now watch this. Slander is the tool of Diabolos to separate people from God and separate people from God's best. If God's trying to use somebody in your family, right, to minister to your family, and you or someone else slanders that person in their hearing, you reduce that person's view of that person in their hearing, you may have cut them off from heaven itself. You may have cut them off of healing and prosperity and deliverance, thinking somehow you're doing them a service. Say it with me. If I don't have something good to say, I suggest shut up. And so this is what the devil will do. He'll try to cut you off from receiving from somebody, and that person may be ordained to be the very voice to help you get the breakthrough. So be careful out there. Let the devil use you. You don't have to like everybody. Everybody has different styles and preferences. But your preference for a teacher, for a preacher, for a kind of music, whatever the case may be, that doesn't mean you have to put everybody else down. Is that a good use of your life, a good use of the church? No, it's not. Because you're functioning like the devil instead of functioning like the Lord. Amen. People come after music ministries like Hillsong and like Bethel and others. And, ooh, don't listen to that stuff. Well, for the record, we do a lot of Hillsong, a lot of Bethel. We're going to keep doing a lot of Hillsong, a lot of Bethel, and whatever else God raises up, because it honors Him. Amen.
Yes.
It brings in the presence of God.
Yes, it does.
And I wonder, is it really a theological argument they have with those songs, or is it just plain jealousy? Wrapped up in piety.
Well, we would never do that.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Criticize somebody because they may charge for a concert ticket or for a sale of a book on Amazon. Meanwhile, you've made $14, $15 million on the sale of your theological books and you think it's just fine for you. There's a word for that. It's called hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. These are the kinds of things that can hurt you because if somebody is slandering God in your hearing or slandering someone God wants to use to minister to you, then you are going to have models in your mind that are going to make it difficult for you to receive God's best.
Right. Yes.
You know what? We should all want people to receive God's best.
That's right.
Amen. Say it with me. I want everybody in the family of God
to receive
God's best. Don't we want them saved, church?
Amen.
Don't we want them baptized in the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Don't we want them healed? Don't we want them delivered?
Yes.
Don't we want them to be free?
Yes.
Well, we got to make sure that our mental models line up with the Word of God and cast those down that do not. And, don't let ourselves be influenced by that voice. Go over to Genesis just for a moment while we're talking about this. Look at somebody and say, don't be Diabolos. Sounds like a Clint Eastwood movie, doesn't it? One of my favorite scenes in the movie, it wasn't actually Clint, I believe it was John Wayne. And he's riding a horse, and Mexican's riding, I think, a mule. And John Wayne says to his Mexican friend, "You know, it seems to me just when I get to liking a fella, he ain't around long at all." And little Mexican goes, "It seems to me, senor, that when you get to not liking a fella, he's not around long." Everybody say diabolos. And now you know that's true. John Wayne's character didn't like it. You weren't around long at all. You know, this particular, you know, we should have more revelation on this because this has been around forever. I mean, literally from Genesis on. But look at Genesis 3. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman," did God really say? What is this? This is the slanderer. This is diabolos. Say it with the devil. Means slanderer. Slanderer means devil. I don't care if they go to church or not. Is it too hard to grasp that there might be some devils that go to church with you? Now, don't move around or anything like that. Nobody will know. Just chill. But did God really say? That is how the slander operates. See, you've got a mental model of holding to what God said, but the enemy wants to change that. "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" Now, did God say don't touch it?
No.
He did say don't eat it.
Right.
So you can already see where there's some slippage here. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. What is that? That contradictory statement is slander.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it implies that God is what? Lying to you.
Yeah.
That's the essence of all of these models that keep people from receiving their healing. They are lies. But they're the work of the slanderer saying that God is really not saying that. God really didn't mean that. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. Now, how many of this is pretty serious? If God says you're going to die, that's a pretty serious thing.
Yeah.
So Diabolos comes in and the slanderer says you will not die. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." What is this? Slander. God's just holding out on you.
Mm-hmm.
"When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. It would have been wise for her to come and say, 'Adam, what do you think about what the old Diablo said?'"
Yeah.
No. I am pretty, you know, amazed at times how fast the devil can come. Diabolos can come to even a Christian and supplant God's word for a mental model that denies his truth. You got to be on your guard.
Amen.
Amen. Say it with me, alert.
Alert.
Doesn't the Bible say that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he
may devour?
He's a toothless enemy, but he still has a mouth. The roaring implies what? The putting forth of slanderous speech, contradicting God, contradicting his word. You know, it's hard enough, living this life out in victory without receiving these kinds of inputs in our life. "She also took some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Now, he could have said, "Now, you ate it. I'm not eating it. See you later." He said, "Thou shalt surely die." Well, I didn't eat it, so bye-bye. Say a nice prayer for you at your funeral, but I'm going with you. That's not what happened. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked." You say, what happened here? At this point in time, as we've taught you, they were surrounded with a garment of glory. If you could see into the garden from maybe a distance of a couple of miles, you could see walking about in this garden balls of light. That was their clothing. That clothing was more powerful than anything they could have worn to protect them and to preserve them and to make sure they're healthy and whole and sound in a perfect environment. You know, but to this point, they don't need anything because they're literally covered with the glory of God. Aren't you looking forward to the day one day and the glory is restored? That's what glorification is all about. The restoration of the glory that was lost because of sin in the garden, and the glory was lost because somebody listened to Diabolos. How many like to see more glorification in your life?
Amen.
More restoration of God's presence, his power, and his goodness. Say it, his presence, his power, and his goodness. Say it again, his presence, his power, and his goodness. You want to see more glorification? You cannot find yourself listening to Diabolos, because when you do, that glory lifts. And that's exactly what they did here. It's a sad day, isn't it? They saw they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. We traded the glory for a fig leaf. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Here comes this really big ball of light. Just wanting to fellowship with the two little balls of light. But now, guess what? They lost the light. They're walking in fear. And he says, but the Lord called to the man, where are you? They hid from him. He answered, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Say that with me. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And the man said very wisely, the woman. Isn't that just like a man when he gets an unrenewed mind? The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Yes, she was deceived, but I want you to see there's something that precedes deception, and it is slander. If you will discern slander, you'll never be deceived. If you will pick up when the enemy is trying to slander your God or slander his servants, you will not be subject to deception. Say that with me. Slander always precedes deception. You've got to listen to, process, receive, and believe the slander to actually enter into a place of deception. All she had to do was say, I don't understand all this, and I don't know what you're doing around here, crawling around here. You have no business being here. Or Adam, how about that, exercising his authority at his home? How about doing a perimeter watch and making sure that he's not there, driving this being out? All that didn't happen. But it all started with the enemy speaking slander about their God into their hearing. That's how these mental models that keep us from receiving are received, they're taught, they're become a part of who we are, and they block us from receiving from God. God's doing this to teach you a lesson. I'm telling you what, if you really believe that, you're never going to resist and press in for your restoration. You see that? You're deceived. Why are you deceived? Because you allowed slander to enter into your ears and your heart. There is truth and there is slander. Before you're deceived, shout it out, before I am deceived, there is slander. I've watched through the years, you know, people will come against, ministries, even this one, come against people that lead and guide this ministry, and they'll say things, and people will receive that slander and be cut off from God's best. And it's always sad to watch what happens when somebody yields to slander. The same thing happens all the time. Their lives just go like this. I consider tonight and give you a dozen examples where things did not go well because somebody slandered somebody who was influencing them positively for the Lord, and they cut themselves off from that person. Say this with me. Deception came after the slander. So be careful. If God is using Joel Osteen to build inside of you hope, don't you let somebody slander him out of your ears.
Amen.
This happened to me when I was like a sophomore in college. I just began to listen to Brother Copeland, his teachings, and listen to Brother Osteen's stuff, and even got a hold of some Brother Copeland's music. And it struck me the first time I ever heard him sing, you could just tell this was an anointed dude. Yeah. Not necessarily my style of music, but you couldn't deny it, the presence of God on what that was. And I had a cassette tape, and he was on the front, and he has these searing eyes. Mm-hmm. You've never been looked at until he catches your eyes while he's preaching, and you see those eyes. Entertainment Tonight and others say, well, that's the look of a devil. Be careful calling God's servant something.
Yes.
That's a good way to die young.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
And you know, there's a brother who was involved with the campus ministry at the time, and he looked at that. Now, our campus sponsor at the time, Bert Folsom, who who became an endowed chair at Hillsdale in Michigan. And I think he's in Georgia now, you know, retired. He's still writing and stuff like that. But he would invite some of us over to his house, and his wife would show Copeland videos and stuff like that. So those seeds, which was awesome, they were doing this way back then. But he looked at the cover of that. He said, oh, be careful with that man. Be careful with that ministry. Well, here I am, born again about a year or so. And instead of saying, you know what, let God build faith inside of you, I just kind of backed up. And I'm not saying that in the long run, it's done damage to me. But think if I had just dove in.
Right then, yeah.
Be careful using your mouth to slander God's servants, to block other people from their forward progress. Amen. Say it. Before deception comes slander. And you're going to hear this stuff. If you haven't already, amen. If you come to this church long enough, somebody in this community is going to say something negative. Amen. You say, why would they do that? Because the devil is terrified of the spirit-filled church.
Yes.
He's terrified of the word church. He's terrified of the tongue talkers. He's terrified where the gifts are flowing and operating, because that's where people go free. Of course, he's going to try to do something to you. Amen. But you know what? None of these things move me. Am I in the Overcomers Club tonight?
Yes.
Am I in the Overcomers Club tonight?
Yes.
Can I talk straighter to the Overcomers Club than other settings?
Yes.
Amen. Don't let yourself be robbed from God's best because there's a diabolos out there.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Say it with me. I believe.
I receive.
I'm standing on the word of God. And I'm just letting you know that to back up, not to not cover these strongholds and give you details, but to understand how they got there in the first place. Somebody said something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody taught something. You just didn't grow up as a baby believing these strongholds. Somebody, in the essence of Diabolos, sowed this into your life. Sometimes ignorantly, sometimes on purpose, but that's what happened. Everybody say, Diabolos. Revelation 12:10, the word for accuser means prosecutor, complainant at law. And it shows you that Satan is illegal. He's the accuser of the brethren. So what does he do? Anybody here ever felt like you made a mistake for it and even God forgave you, but the devil comes at you time and time and time and time and time again?
Right.
Raise your hand if the devil's ever come at you with condemnation.
Yep.
You can always tell it's condemnation when it pushes you away from God. It robs you of your peace and you don't grow spiritually. When you be convicted over something, it's by the Holy Spirit. He always draws you closer than you were, not pushes you away. The devil brings condemnation, but your God will bring conviction to bring you into a place where you need to be. Understand, he's the accuser. This is how this operates. This is how Diabolos operates in your life. That's why we see it as diabolical. Look at somebody and say, diabolical. And he's a legalist. That's why you have to be careful with your words. If you don't want something to come to pass, then don't give him the moral authority to bring agency into that situation with the words that you actually said. Words matter. Come on, shout it out. Words matter. My words matter. When you go to Matthew 4, you know that the tempter came to Jesus. Pyrazon is the Greek, one who tests, tries, tempts. This is the misuse or the partial use or the misappropriation of God's word. And oftentimes it can be from a lack of revelation, but the devil, it's not that the devil doesn't have revelation, he doesn't have obedience.
Yeah.
Just because you have revelation doesn't mean you're obeying. The Bible teaches that the demons believe and tremble. What separates a demon from a Christian?
Obedience.
If they don't obey, nothing. Demons, say, demons believe.
Demons believe.
And they tremble. Christians should believe and do what?
Obey.
The difference is we obey and we walk with God. They refuse to obey. It was not they didn't have revelation. I'm going to say it again. It's not they didn't have revelation. You might have revelations tonight, but you're not actually doing the things you've been taught to do. I mean, really, seriously, church, how many times do you have to be taught the principles of being a sower and a giver and a tither, and it continued to go over your head? Aren't you glad for the exhortations that our servants give you week by week?
Yes.
That's not by accident. That's to teach you how to be victorious in this area of your life. But for some, it just bounces off of them, just bounces off of them. And if you ever let the Lord begin to tell you the truth about this and let that revelation come to you, and you got revelation that you act on, remember, it's the revelation that you do that causes you to go free. And they will know the truth, and they what? That truth will set you free, but you have to continue in that. But at that moment when Rodney's exhorting, you know, or Tyler or Tim's exhorting, or Todd is exhorting on the principles of finances containing the Word of God, there's the devil with the mental model. All they want is your money. It doesn't take all that. Tithing's under the old covenant. No, tithing is under the relationship you have with God by faith. Abraham tithed by faith before the law was ever given. And we're told in Romans to follow in the footsteps of our father Abraham, not the law. We don't do it because of law. We do it because of love. Amen. We do it because that's what faith people do. Come on, say, faith people are givers, they're tithers, they're sowers. But, you know, if in your heart there's a stronghold that's bigger than that revelation, it's going to block you. And who suffers from it? Diabolo slanders the things of God, slanders the ministry, slanders the one given the exhortation, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and here you are 20 years later, nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you that the years that I've been here, one individual comes up to me every 6 months or 2 or 3 years, depending on what cycle they're in, and they say, God's been dealing with me about my attendance, and God's been dealing with me about coming to the Lord and serving Him and sowing and tithing. I say, praise the Lord. You know, I don't say, really? Are you going to go through this again? When are you going to get it and just stick with it? But no, you know, as a pastor, how many of you a pastor should be gracious? What's the point of hammering somebody? But how long does it take before that stronghold breaks and now I'm constant, right? Say, I am constant. We shouldn't have to take up service after service explaining why you need to be in church.
Amen.
But there's a mental block there with people. And that stronghold is more important to him than what the Word of God says. Who told him that? The devil slandered the Word of God. Listen, when the devil slanders the Word, he's slandering Jesus. He is truth and grace.
Yes.
All I can tell you is when you settle it forever and you cross that faith line and you say, you know what, I'm going to be faithful in my walk with God, faithful in my relationships, faithful to my church. I'm going to be faithful, be a tither and giver. And you go over here and you don't pay attention to how you feel. Don't pay attention to the pressure. You just do it. Watch and see what God will do. And behind it all is this diabolos who does not want you to excel. The devil tries to tell you, well, they're trying to hold you back and manipulate you and somehow con you. That's the stronghold. The Word of God is trying to set you free in that area. But it's not the Word that you hear that sets you free. It's the Word that you do that sets you free. Say it, the Word that I do sets me free. How many know we're supposed to have Lord Jesus, not Lord Diabolos? Amen. In Matthew 4, you know that the devil came to Jesus to tempt him. And how did Jesus get back at him?
It is
what?
Written.
It is written. Yes, I in fact do have power to turn stone to bread. I have done and will do the miraculous. I am God. I have creative ability. But I'm not going to be tempted by you to exercise the power outside the leadership of the Holy Spirit while I'm on this earth modeling for my church how we're supposed to do this.
Right.
Yes, go ahead and show me all the kings and the Lord, whatever you want to do. But you know what? I'm not going to bow down and worship you, right? Yes, His angels will give charge over me if I dash my foot against a stone. That's not cause for me to go and tempt God.
That's right. Amen.
What do you do when Diabolos comes at you? You shoot back the Word of God. But you can't shoot back at Diabolos if you don't know what the Word is.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to understand something. The devil knows the Word.
Yes, he does.
Enough to twist it, enough to con you, enough to talk you out of God's best. Amen? And I like to tell you that when Jesus shut him down, it was over. That's not what Scripture says.
No.
Scripture says he left him until what? An opportune time. And what are you going to do next time he comes? You're going to hit him with a word all over again. So write this down, the definition of diabolical. It's one who accuses, prosecutes, attests, tries, and tempts. One who accuses, prosecutes, tests, tries, and tempts. Watch this. Using slander is the primary weapon of choice. One who accuses, prosecutes, tests, tries, tempts, using slander as the primary weapon of choice. One who accuses, prosecutes, tests, tries, tempts, using slander as the primary weapon of choice. And nothing's changed. I already told you that Donald Trump's not a perfect man. But when you can indict a man and the judge tell the jury, you don't have to identify the felony that was actually committed here to convict him. Now, I'd love to be on an appellate court when that came to me. And it will go up there. I mean, obviously, blocked him from calling his own witnesses. Never had to identify. I mean, telling the jury, you don't have to actually identify the felony with which the man is going to be committed and convicted of a felony. How many in here, none of you would like to be treated that way? And why? It's very simple. A thing called power. Diabolos and those that serve him love power. And it's interesting that apparently America last night didn't believe it.
Amen.
You want to know why? Because like a little boy cried wolf. When you do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, even people that may have been inclined, you know, not to even like you, all of a sudden begin to feel sorry for you and say, there's something to this. Does that make sense? And when the slander didn't work and the lawfare didn't work and the con jobs didn't work and all the garbage didn't work, then let's get somebody on a rooftop to take a shot at him. Yeah. You've got to understand something. This is a total miracle that he's even alive.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Where did that come from? Who put that thought in there? Amen. Yeah. And how could there be such a breakdown in our security services to allow that to even happen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We could have put Ruth on a rooftop and she could have made that shot.
Yeah. I'd have to climb up there first.
She'd have to climb up there first. How in the world does that stuff happen? And he just happens to turn his head at the time. Like him or not, you can absolutely see that it wasn't him turning to just look at a chart up there on the screen. There was an angel that went.
Yep. Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Spared for a purpose.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to like everything somebody does or say to understand, to believe that God wants to use somebody for his own purposes.
That's it.
And that's where we've got to watch what we say.
That's it.
You may find yourself opposing God. Remember the counsel Gamaliel gave when they were trying to persecute the early church, the apostles?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you say. You may find yourself actually opposing
that's right.
God.
That's
Amen. So what can you do? You don't have to say anything.
It's true.
Amen. What is compelling people that they just have to express their opinions? Say, I can have an opinion and keep it to myself. Amen. Diabolos is out there and he is aware and he is using people. Why? To keep you from receiving God's best. If you're not careful, you'll fall into that trap, get all religious, get all puffed up, and just listen to this crazy stuff. Let me help you out tonight. Kamala didn't lose because she is black, Asian, or a woman.
No.
No.
No. God helped Christians to be discerning, to come up out of their heads and out of their religion and out of their associations and see what's going on from God's perspective. Was it a good song? Was it a good song? Okay, it was a good song. Say it, I refuse to be a soldier for Diabolos. Amen. What you saw last night, and interestingly enough, some of the greatest commentary came from, Harold Ford, who is a Tennessee Democrat. I believe he was congressman and senator. Now he works as a broadcast communicator. But he's what, you know, I believe that Americans, you know, used to be and should aspire to be again, to be able to discuss stuff without getting into a bunch of vitriol and hatred. And he said last night, you saw the annihilation of the classical Democratic and Republican parties. You know what I say? Good riddance. Good riddance to both of them. Amen. Let the Lord just do what he wants to do. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. And you are stewards of this covenant that we have. Your job is bigger than just being some R or D after your name.
That's right.
Or some prideful independent, for that matter.
I'm an independent. Nice, great. Still, you need to do God's will.
Amen.
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 Amen. All that means is you have no allegiance at all. Stop bragging about it. Amen. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
We can't afford to allow ourselves to have models come into our life and strongholds, you know, that are more important to us than the Word of God. Amen. And if you think this whole thing is over, it's not. Say, we're in a war.
We are in war.
A spiritual war.
Spiritual.
And what's the primary weapon of the enemy he'll use against you, against your loved ones, against people you care about, to separate you from people? It'll always be this thing called slander. Now, I'm just going to list these for you. If you want to take them down, you can. Characteristics of the devil, the diabolical one, are so evil as to be suggestive of the devil, extremely evil or cruel, expressive of cruelty or befitting hell, showing the cunning or ingenuity of wickedness typical of the devil. This is why I just wanted to pause tonight and just kind of say, think about where this is coming from. So you'll be even motivated when somebody says, well, you know, God put that on you to teach you a lesson, or it's not God's will to heal, or somehow I've got Paul's thorn. We haven't gotten that, but let me smile and say, you don't have Paul's thorn. Because Paul's thorn was not physical, it was a messenger of Satan. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But if you're not careful, you heard somebody say, I'm just like Paul. I got a thorn, thinking it's physical. I mean, you got a bunion on your foot, and therefore you're just like Paul.
Yeah.
No, he had a very strong, tormenting, wicked thing that came after him. It's very different from physical. Affliction is not just physical. Can have an amen.
Amen.
Number one tonight, it is diabolical for the devil to blame God for his handiwork. It's diabolical. It's slanderous. The Bible tells us that the thief cometh not, in John 10, but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, have it more abundantly, to the full, till it overflows. Acts 10, 38 says, Jesus went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of what? Of the devil. But the diabolical one says that God may be doing this to you. That's not true. Scripture reveals who's doing the bad and who's doing the good. Aren't you glad you served the good one tonight? Number two, it's diabolical for the devil to use so-called gospel ministers to teach his rhetoric and keep people in bondage. Matthew 12, 24, they accused Jesus of doing miracles by Beelzebub. Can you imagine that you could believe that the devil can do what you deny Jesus can do? How stupid is that? No, you didn't do this, but the devil did. The devil can do it. No, it wasn't the devil doing that. But how is this happening? How is the slander getting into your spirit? When somebody told you, you know, I've dealt with people, for example, that they desperately need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They desperately need to be filled with the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues and the power coming into their life. But they've heard all their lives that when they got saved, that's all there is. The tongues is gone. It's perished. And they desperately need that power. Where did that slander come from? A demon didn't show up in the room and say, I have a message for you. These things have passed away. It came through so-called agents of the ministry. That's exactly right. Slander can come from a pulpit just like it can come from Facebook. And you've got to be careful that you don't yield to that, because if it does, it's going to rob you blind of a blessing that God has for you. Number three, it is diabolical for the devil to talk people out of their covenant rights and privileges. Just like that woman, daughter of Abraham, in Luke chapter 13, bound up all those years, Jesus said, isn't it right, this daughter of Abraham, this covenant woman, to be set free from her affliction? Be careful What's going on? What you're receiving. It's diabolical for the devil to get God's people to accept what they should resist, number four, and what they should accept. James chapter 4, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It's diabolical for the devil to get God's people to accept what they should resist and resist what they should accept in terms of what God has promised. If it's a promise, you shouldn't resist it.
Amen.
If it's a lie, you should resist it. If it's the truth, you should accept it and embrace it. If it's slander, you should reject it. And if I say God is a healer, is that slander or is that the truth? Is if I say God loves people, is that a slander or a truth? If I say God only loves certain people, does that reveal the heart of God in the New Testament and throughout His Word?
No,
it's a misunderstanding. The Scriptures say that God will hate this one and hate that one. No, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So if I say something like this, we should, what, like God, love the person, love the sinner, but what?
Hate
the sin? You'd be amazed how many people in their bully pulpit say God doesn't love everybody. That's false teaching. That's slander. Because it's not the truth. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't have come.
That's right.
The fact that He came proves that He loves all human beings the same. It's diabolical for the devil to convince believers that heaven is so bankrupt, God has to use the tools of the devil to teach people. And it's diabolical for the devil to influence God's people to become slanderers as well. If you take on his method of operation, you take on his nature. The misuse of the mouth is a much bigger issue than people realize. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, it's not gossip if it's true." Well, how many of y'all know something about some people that you know it's true, but you know you're not supposed to be going around talking about it?
Amen.
Are we still not to obey Ephesians 4:29-30? Build up or
shut up.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Anybody here have a skeleton hanging in their closet? Well, you're now blood washed. Your closet is clean. But the slanderer loves to bring stuff up.
Yes, he does.
Why would people gossip about one another? They're yielding to Diabolos at that moment. In fact, your words determine in any given day who you're being influenced by. Brother Hagin used to say it like this: I can have a 30-second conversation with you and find out exactly where you are spiritually. Talking life, death, defeat, victory, talking religion versus relationship, and it's all exposed by the mouth out of the abundance of the heart.
Yes.
The mouth speaks. I like to say it like this: when you open up your mouth, your heart falls out.
Yeah.
And the whole world can see exactly what it is you're believing. Amen. Aren't you glad you're not a servant of Diabolos?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're a servant of who? You're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how this happens, and this is how these strongholds come into our heart. We need to be wise. We need to be the kind of person that discerns. And when something is coming into our hearing, judge that not in a hurtful way or, you know, a prideful way, but against what did God say. Amen? Does the Bible say that you're blessed going in and blessed going out?
Yes.
Did he say that? So if somebody comes along and say, "Well, you know, that blessing stuff's not real. That's just for Israel."
No.
No, it goes back to Job. They're not speaking of God what is true. Now, you don't go on a crusade trying to correct everybody.
No, I'm not the police.
Does that make sense? If you are a pastor or a fivefold ministry, you have a certain responsibility to do that through the ministry of the word. But you do have a responsibility to not let the work of Diabolos get into your consciousness. To guard your heart. Amen. Guard your ears. How do things get into our heart? Write this down. There are three gates. One is your eye gate, one is your ear gate, and one is your mouth gate. That's how these things get in. What you listened to, what you looked at, and then what you said with your mouth. That's how it happens. It's no surprise how these strongholds got into all of our lives. They came through gates. The devil didn't come in the middle of the night and just plant something in you. That's not how this works. Say it with me. The gates of my eyes, my ears, and my mouth. That's where the strongholds come from. Now, it's a lot easier not to allow them form inside your heart than to get them out once they're there. Is there anybody here, I'll be honest, raise your hand, that when you first started coming to this church, I rubbed you the wrong way? Just two of you?
We're being honest.
Counseling, my office.
Baptist.
It's Baptist.
Pentecostal.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Huh? Anybody else? No, Lester, I was ready to receive everything you had to say. In fact, if I were honest, you rubbed me the wrong way tonight, bless God. oftentimes, when we hear the truth, religion will rise up because we want to defend that thing. See, you personalize that. Grandpa taught me that. The church I was in as a kid taught me that. Mom and them taught me that. Uncle so-and-so is a preacher. Daddy preached, you know, against the baptism and the Holy Ghost all my life. I have all the Holy Ghost there possibly is, and therefore I'm not going to go any further with that. You see how it happens here? It didn't happen by accident, through the eyes, through the ears, and with the mouth. And then here comes somebody along the road that tells you that, guess what? There is something subsequent to salvation.
Yeah.
And it's the baptism and the Holy Ghost.
Right.
But you got to protect Grandpa. No, you don't need to protect Grandpa. You need to protect your Heavenly Father. And anything that contradicts that word is slander. And you and I, if we yield to slander, we take on the nature of the slanderer. Amen? What we should be is, you know what, Lord? If something strikes me funny, and, you know, religion. My sister said something that was really funny years and years ago. She goes, she's been in this for like 14, 15 years. And she was in a service, and all of a sudden the speaker said something, and up jumped this little religious thing. And she's like, how can that still be in there after 14, 15 years? Because it took a long time to get it in there. It's been living in your spirit, in your heart for decades. That's why we talk about renewing the mind. That's why the Overcomers Club is so important.
That's right.
That's why it's so important for me to rub you the wrong way.
That's it.
You'll never lay that stuff down if somebody doesn't challenge it through the Word of God. You'll be still sitting there years later. Ignorance is bliss, I guess, but not tapping into everything God has for you, because when you hear it, you reject it because you're protecting your little religious spirit thing. No, your fidelity should be to God and His Word. Love Grandpa, but stick to the Word.
Amen.
Love Mom and them, but stick to the Word.
Amen.
Love your pastor when you're a child, but stick to the Word of God. I can't remember much of what this one Lutheran pastor said because he was so intellectual, nobody. People walk out of the church going, what did he say? I don't know. he was brilliant. He just didn't realize that most of us weren't. He needed to just, you know, lay it out there. And I had a pastor who was Spirit-filled in Lutheran church, and he operated in the gifts of the Spirit. And because of the Spirit of God upon his life, the things that they would say would make a lot of sense, particularly when tell us about the functional and the positive application of the Ten Commandments in our lives. That was life-changing. But guess what? I don't believe that we had communion Sunday. I don't believe that the elements become the body of Christ.
No.
It's juice going in and it's juice going out. It's a wafer going in. And it's a way for going out. But what it symbolizes is what is so critical.
Yeah.
I don't believe that when the priest prays over the bread, it literally is the body of the Lord. I told you the story. We went to Ferdinand. They have a monastery there in Indiana. Beautiful church and chapel. And a portico inside the church. And in the middle of that portico was a table, very ornate. And in that table in the middle was a glass case with consecrated bread. And Tim was, I don't know, maybe 13, 14 years old. And before I knew it, he was just about to lift the cover off of that covenant bread and let Jesus out. That would have been terrible. Put him back in there. Or worse yet, grab the bread. No, put that down. I knew enough about the tradition to leave that alone, man. That's consecrated. But where did that come from? That's not scripture. They misunderstood what he said. Just like those that were following misunderstand what he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part of me. Their natural translation, cannibalism. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's when Jesus turned to his disciples to find out where they were at. You know, you're going to leave too. And what did Peter say?
Where are we going to go?
To whom shall we go?
Yeah.
You're the only one not slandering.
Mm-hmm.
You have the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm saying to you is stay teachable even when your religion gets rubbed the wrong way.
Yeah.
Brother Osteen used to say all the time, you know, if I'm rubbing your fur the wrong way, turn the cat around.
Yep.
Yes. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight if you can receive that.